In the precious name of Jesus, who has paid our ransom so that we might live with him and his heavenly Father and with the Spirit forevermore. In the name of Jesus, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles because we're going to actually look at a little bit more than just our text for this evening, a reading from Acts chapter 10. So please open up in the New Testament to Acts chapter 10, and we'll look in just a few moments at verses 34 and following. The text for this evening points us, I believe, to the fact that God shows no partiality. God calls us to be those who are showing no favoritism. May God bless my speaking and your hearing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. As you look at the beginning of Acts chapter 10, we see the story of Cornelius. Right in the way at the beginning of Acts chapter 10, you see that Cornelius was a wonderful man, a good and godly man, a man of prayer, a man of faith, a man whose faith overflowed so that he put his faith into action. What Acts chapter 10 tells us is that he was a good and cheerful giver. He gave to those who were in need because God's love so filled him that it filled him to overflowing. God's goodness, God's mercy, God's grace, God's generosity couldn't be contained by Cornelius, and so it spilled over to others. What Acts chapter 10 tells us is that this man of God was a man also of prayer. And as he was seeking God's will and God's direction for his life, God gave him the message that he should call Peter one of God's anointed, one of God's apostles. And so he sent for Peter, and then what we find out in Acts chapter 10 is that Peter had at the same time a vision that came from God. Remember the vision of this four-cornered sheet that came down, and there were animals of every sort, and God said to Peter, "Take, rise up, and kill." And he said, "I can't do that. I'm a good Hebrew boy. I'm a good Israelite. These are unclean animals." And God said to Peter, "What I have called clean, what I have prepared, what I ask you to do, do, because I show no favoritism." Well, that was Peter's way to understand that when Cornelius came, or at least sent representatives, that he should go and go to Cornelius and then speak to him the word of God. What you'll see at the end of Acts chapter 10, finally, is that God shows no favoritism, and God brings Cornelius to saving faith in Jesus, too. And because he comes to faith in Christ, he's baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the middle of all of this is where our text is for tonight, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and following. Peter begins preaching and teaching, and as he begins his sermon, he says, "I see that God shows no favoritism. God shows no partiality." What he's saying is that God loves everyone. What our text says is that God loves and God brings to himself those of every nation and tribe and people and language and tongue, as Revelation says, those who believe, those who understand and put their faith into practice. God welcomes them all. God encourages, God invites them all. He does so so that they will hear and know about Jesus. He wants them to know about Jesus and the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness. So in our text, Peter says, "Here's what I can testify and tell you about. I can tell you about how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power at the waters of his baptism. How he went about preaching and teaching and doing the work and the will of God, bringing the Father's love into this world, bringing the Father's love through his preaching and teaching, his touching, his helping and healing. In all of these ways, showing God's love to all people, not just the people of Israel, not just the people of the Old Testament, not just this New Testament people, but all people everywhere. And Cornelius, from our text, is just such an example, a Roman an Italian from the Italian regiment, how would he be received? God created him too, and God loves all people. I testify, Peter says, how Jesus went about preaching and welcoming all to hear the message of God's love and God's forgiveness, God's mercy and grace. God chose him, Jesus, and God used Jesus to be the one who would preach and teach, who would help and minister, who would do miracles. What our text says, he would go about doing good, doing the work, doing the will of God, because Jesus is God in the flesh, God among us, Emmanuel. This is what we know, Peter said, and this is that to which we are ourselves eyewitnesses. What we can tell you is what we too have seen, how the people of Israel didn't listen to Jesus, and the leaders took him into captivity, and how they punished him, how they ridiculed him and mocked him, and finally crucified him on the cross. We can testify, Peter says, because we ourselves have seen that 3 days later, God raised him up from the dead and gave him life again. That's what we know. That's what we ourselves can tell you. And not only that, but we have seen him and many others have seen him as well. What the New Testament tells us is that he appeared to individuals, and he appeared to the group of disciples a number of times, and even to 500 at one time, showing that he was, in fact and indeed, raised from the dead. He was alive. And Peter says, we are eyewitnesses of these things. You know, the best witness in court is an eyewitness. Not someone who says, well, this one told me, or that one told me, or I surmise, or I believe that, but someone who could say, I have seen with my own eyes. Let me tell you what happened, because I was a witness to it. And what Peter says is that we are, in fact, witnesses to all these things. How God had anointed and chosen Jesus, and how God had used him to preach and teach, how God had used him to bring the most important gift to the whole world, and that's the gift of forgiveness. In Christ, we see forgiveness. In Christ, we have the love of the Heavenly Father. And we know that God intends this for all people, of all times and places, all over the world, not just us. I think this is a good text for us to concentrate on tonight as well. Because we often show favoritism. We often show partiality. Well, how might we do that? Sometimes we favor the young, and sometimes we favor the old. We prefer one or the other, or think one is better than the other. And God doesn't see that. He doesn't see young or old. Sometimes we favor the rich. Can you see the city behind? And the poor in front. We favor the rich over the poor, but not God. God comes among us, loving all, young and old, rich and poor. Sometimes we show favoritism by looking at one another's skin color. If a skin color is this, or if it's that, we prefer it. We think it's better than another. We favor or show partiality. We push some away and we bring others closer to ourselves, but that's not what God does in Christ Jesus. Peter says, I see that God shows no favoritism. What God has done is given Jesus for all people, for every nation and tribe, every language and people, for the young and for the old, for the rich and for the poor, for the people of every skin color in all the world. God loves them all. But do we? Do you? Jesus comes to us tonight to forgive our sins. For those times and ways that we show favoritism, that we show partiality, that we want to welcome some, and we want to hold others at a distance. That's not the way God sees, and that's not the way God calls us to see. He forgives us when we show favoritism, and he welcomes and forgives and loves us in spite of it all. I can't admit to actually being a Trekkie. I don't know if any of you are Star Trek fans here this evening, but one of the episodes that I remember from a long, long time ago was an episode where there were two great groups of people on a planet, and they were warring and feuding. They hated one another. They despised one another. They were killing and murdering one another. And you can see two of those representatives, one from each group of people. And you see the horrible, the terrible difference between the two? Did any of you see that episode? Look and look and look, and what's the difference between the two? Well, the difference is that some have black on the right side of their face, and some have black on the left side of their face, and the white in contrasting places. Well, we would look at that, and we would say, how foolish, how silly that they would hate each other because they look differently like that from one another. But isn't that what we have a tendency to do? In our old sinful nature, we hate, or at least we show favoritism. We hold at an arm's length others who are different than we are. As I was preparing the sermon for this week, somebody told me about the story of Dr. Seuss. And this story of Dr. Seuss was about the Sneetches. I don't know if any of you have heard that story. But you can see the difference between the two Sneetches on the left and the two Sneetches on the right. Can you see the difference? What an awful difference. What a big difference there is between the two. Can you see it? I know many of you can't see it. And if you look at the two on the left, they are star-bellied Sneetches, where the ones on the right hand have no stars on their bellies. And the difference between those two groups, which were at odds with each other, which were warring with one another, was some had stars and others didn't. How silly it is when we let things separate us from one another and from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God calls us to see like Jesus sees. And I don't know if any of you have seen this image before, but this image is one that's on a plaque in my office. And it's the robe of many colors. Perhaps from where you're sitting, you can't see it. But Jesus' robe is made up of country flags from all over the world. There are dozens and dozens of flags from Africa, from Israel, from the United States and Great Britain, from all over the world. Jesus is the Lord of all. He's the Lord of all nations, and he welcomes all people to himself. He welcomes those who will believe in him and who will trust in him to be their Lord and Savior. Jesus is the Lord of all nations, and he calls us to be the people of all nations. He invites, he welcomes people from every nation and tribe, younger and older, richer and poorer, from wherever they may be, to hear the message of the gospel, to believe it by the power of the Spirit at work within us, to come to the cross, and there to find forgiveness, salvation, and the gift of eternal life. Peter understood, as God worked in his life and helped him to believe, that he should go to Cornelius, that he should carry the gospel, that he would take the waters of baptism so that Cornelius would fully and completely be Jesus' very own. And Jesus calls us likewise to go into our world. You haven't heard so much of it yet, but at the end of this month, when our voters meet, our special annual voters meeting, you'll hear the work of our parish planning committee as they have set goals and are helping our council, helping us as a congregation move forward as the people of God. And some of those goals are to be able to reach even more people with the message of the gospel, so that more and more can be with us in worship, so that more and more children will fill our classrooms to hear about Jesus. And in all of these ways, Jesus is calling us to be his witnesses. Peter could have stayed back. Peter could have hidden when it was that God called him to go out to Cornelius and to carry the message of the gospel. But God changed Peter so that Peter would joyfully proclaim Jesus as Lord of all. Sometimes we want to shrink back. We want to leave it up to somebody else. We figure it's somebody else's job, but it's not. God is calling you to be like Peter, to boldly speak the message of Christ, so that others might see and hear and believe. You see, how are they supposed to come unless we invite them? And that we is you. Who do you know that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Who in your neighborhoods and workplaces? Who in your family? Who around you needs to know Jesus? How might you this week tell them about Jesus and invite them to come? I see, says Peter, that God shows no favoritism, and neither do we. All people need to know and hear about Jesus, and Jesus is calling us all to reach them with the message of the gospel. May God give you strength and courage, joy and peace. May he give you eyes to see those who need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Tell them and invite them to come with you. God shows no favoritism, and neither do we. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, this Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen.